Thank you, choir. Thank you. I love that hymn. And I just want to thank all of you for a wonderful birthday celebration last Sunday. It was amazing, and I can honestly say I had no idea that was coming. I was truly surprised, and just thank you so much. I appreciate you, appreciate all that you've done and do for me, and just want you to know I feel blessed to be here. The psalmist said that our days may come to 70 years, or 80, if our strength endures. And so, having endured and attained the biblical age of 80, I thought I might be somewhat qualified to speak to senior adults and to those who will one day be senior adults about this matter of aging, of growing older. Our scripture comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 26 through 30. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And so they went out, we are told, and explored the land. And in verses 26 through 30, we read they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: "When it went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The descendants of Anak were very tall. They were so big, in fact, that they struck fear into the hearts of the Israelites." He goes on to tell us the Amalekites lived in Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Now, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there is a remarkable transition taking place in our society today. At the time of the Great Depression in the early 1930s, our population was considered young. But that is no longer the case. The spectrum has shifted. Since 1983, persons 65 and older outnumber teenagers in our country. Indeed, every day 5,000 people turn 65. And for the first time, the fastest growing segment of our population are those who are 85 and older. In addition, one report I read said that approximately 100,000 people can now light 100 candles on their birthday cakes. And by the year 2050, I was figuring that out, how old am I going to be in 2050? 1 million people will be 100 years of age and older. And the truth of the matter is, all of us are aging. All of us are growing older. As Frank Stagg wrote in an article on aging, either you die young or eventually you get old. More important than the fact of aging is the quality of aging. Not all grow old the same way. He went on to say, we can do something about whether the years work for or against us. Attitudes, values, life principles, how we treat our bodies, and much else may affect the aging process. It is no accident that some people in old age are bitter, crabby, empty, or beaten. It is no accident that some old people are radiant, joyful, interesting, exciting, and fulfilled. Now, all of that suggests to me that as we age, we have a choice. We can simply endure the years ahead with dread and despair, or we can embrace the years ahead with a sense of excitement, anticipation, enthusiasm. That was Caleb, I think. He didn't endure the years, he embraced the years. At the age of 40, he stood on the edge of the promised land and he said, let's go and possess it. It's ours. But the people turned back in fear. And then 45 years later, so the book of Joshua tells us, the Israelites stood again at the doorway to the land of Canaan. Caleb is an old man now, 85 years old. But the years haven't changed him. He's still embracing the one life that he has with excitement, anticipation. He looks at Joshua and he says, here I am, 85 years old, but I'm just as ready and able to possess the land as I ever was. Give me the hill country where the giants are. I'll conquer it. Don't you like that? Don't you like that spirit in a person? Arthur Gordon writes, when we were youngsters growing up in our sleepy southern town of Savannah, most of the grandparents and parents of my friends seemed rather staid and sober folk, not very exciting. But there was one memorable exception, Miss Lucy. Miss Lucy was a widow lady in her 60s or thereabouts who lived with her sister Clara. Clara was prim and proper, but Miss Lucy was a live wire, full of charm and sparkle and enthusiasm and energy. One day, in the course of assuring us that age need not be a barrier to anything, Miss Lucy asserted that she could still stand on her head whenever she felt like it. Seeing the doubt in our faces, she proceeded to do so, clamping her skirt between her knees and beaming at us upside down. Oh, Lucy, said Clara disapprovingly, do be your age. Miss Lucy righted herself and looked at her sister. "Be your age," she said. "What sort of nonsense is that? How can anyone be anything but their age? The trick is to love your age, whatever it is. Love it when you're young and strong and foolish. Love it when you're old and wise. Love it in the middle when the challenges come and you can fly at them and solve some of them, maybe most of them. If you love your age, you will never go around wishing you were some other age." Think about it now and then, Clara. Might do you some good. Like Caleb, Miss Lucy wasn't enduring the years. She was embracing the years. Is that how it is with you? Your life? I want to suggest to you this morning four principles that I believe will enable us, will help us to embrace the years ahead of us, all the years that God gives us with excitement, anticipation, enthusiasm. And the first principle is gratitude. It is gratitude that understands that your life is a gift. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you know the amazing possibilities that you wouldn't even be here at all? Your life is a gift. And gratitude that understands that every day of my life, every day that God gives me is a gift. And because it is, you will determine to live it as fully as you possibly can, for who knows when that gift will be withdrawn, recalled. The psalmist said, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." That is to say, I'm going to claim this day. I'm going to live this day. I'm going to embrace and enjoy this day. We cannot change the years on the calendar, but we can choose how we respond to the year. How we choose to live out the only life we have. Norman Vincent Peale once wrote, "God made this wonderful world and put us here to enjoy it. Aging cannot take from us our right to savor its thrills and beauties. People who know how to enjoy life can never be cheated by age. We should learn in our youth to participate in the whole good feast God has prepared for us, not just nibble at its edges. If we are really part of the world we live in, we can enjoy it, no matter how many or how few the years that are left." Fred Bauer tells us, "Back in my sports writing days, I interviewed Satchel Paige, one of the greatest pitchers in the history of baseball. Because he was black, he didn't make it to the major leagues until the twilight of his career. He was 42. But even in his 50s, when I saw him play, he was a Houdini with a baseball." And he was being interviewed by a reporter once, and the reporter asked him this question: "How do you account for your longevity as an athlete?" Now, Satchel Paige was something of a Cracker Barrel philosopher who thought age was a state of mind. And he answered that question with a question of his own. Here's the question: how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? Think about that. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? Fred Bauer went on to say, anyone who frets unduly over gray hair, wrinkles, or an hourglass figure reshaped by time-shifting sands would do well to consider old Satch's wisdom. The Bible advises that as we think in our hearts, so are we. In a world that puts top premium on youth, you may be less than a spring chicken, but there's nothing wrong with being a fall chicken that's still kicking. I like that. And by saying no to house slippers and a rocking chair prematurely, you'll avoid the fate of the guy whose tombstone read, died at 60, buried at 80. Determined to take the years that God gives you and live them to the full. Claim each day in gratitude as a gift to savor, to enjoy. Principle number two, respect. Respect yourself. Don't ever forget that you have value, you have worth. I say that because we live in a culture that places the emphasis on and the value on youth. We see it in advertising, on television, in the movies, in magazines, and the message is, if you are young and attractive, you have worth. And the message, and the hidden message is, if you're not, you don't. What a terrible lie. And what a tragedy that so many people embrace it as truth. And as a result, too many people, I fear, resent the passing of years. They feel as though they've been robbed of their youth and robbed of their worth in the process. And I think we need an attitude adjustment at this point. We need to understand that whatever our age, we are valuable, just as we are, to our families, to our friends, our church, our community, and especially to our God. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth is, you are loved by God. And the truth is, the passing of years does not diminish God's love for you. His love is constant. It is unchanging. So the question is, who are you going to believe? A society with its false sense of who or what has value? Or the God who loves you so much that He gave His Son on the cross to die for your sins. Who are you going to believe? I still like what Ethel Waters used to say, God made you and God made me and God don't make no junk. Principle number three, others. Others, you remember the words of that poem here, the opening verse, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. The principle of others says, as I grow older, I will not grow inward. I will not refuse to see and hear those around me who need me. The Bible says that we can still bear fruit in our old age, and I can think of no better fruit at any age than to give yourself and to give your love and your comfort, your compassion, your encouragement to those who need it. Richard Morgan, in his book, Autumn Wisdom, tells of a woman named Margaret, born during the early 1920s in the rural South, where her mother ironed and washed to make ends meet. She endured many hard knocks. She had to overcome the trauma of being a battered spouse and the embarrassment of explaining blackened eyes and bruises to her friends. Later in life, she suffered major tragedies in the senseless murders of her daughter killed by an intruder and her grandson slain as an innocent bystander in a moment of violence. She told me, "I gave my life to Christ when I was 13, and that has made all the difference." She has lived out the wise counsel of her father, who told her, "The sky's the limit. Stand tall. Be all that you can be." She has been a tower of strength in the community, in the church, in the neighborhood. God called Margaret into a new vocation in her later years, although her days and nights are full with caregiving for her husband. She's become a role model for younger women with her active involvement in the life of the community and the church. Her faith is genuine. She told me, "I asked the Lord to take care of me so I can live a full and active life, and He has answered that prayer. But I tell my children, don't worry about me when I get old. I'll just sign myself in to the nursing home and help other old folks." Others. And lastly, principle number 4, trust. The writer of Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." In other words, don't doubt God. He will keep His word. He will do what He says He will do. Caleb believed that. Caleb did that. He trusted God. God said that He would give His people the promised land. And Caleb believed it. And when Caleb thought of that land beyond the Jordan River, he didn't see the obstacles. He didn't see the problems, the dangers. He didn't see the giants. Caleb saw the promise fulfilled. He saw a land of milk and honey, luscious green valleys, water in abundance, fruit of all kinds. And Caleb said, "Let's go claim it. It's ours. God said so." Rabbi Ben Ezra was a 12th century scholar. Among other things, he wrote this: "Approach the twilight of life with joy and hope. Approach the last of life with eagerness, not gloom, for the last of life is the best of life. Trust God and be not afraid." And Robert Browning read those words, and he was inspired to write, "Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. The last of life for which the first was made, our times are in His hands. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid." Centuries earlier, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Was not Paul saying, "The best is yet to be"? Miss Olive and Miss Martha had been Baptist missionaries in China and the closest of friends for many, many years. When old age crept up on them, Miss Olive went to a nursing home. Sometime later, Miss Martha died, and when friends went to tell Miss Olive that her lifelong friend had died, She bowed her head and she folded her hands and she prayed this prayer, "Dear Jesus, please help Martha get settled in." A simple prayer, yet one expressing a profound faith and trust in the God who had promised that he would prepare a place for his children. And so it was only natural that she would pray for her friend to get settled in to her place. In the words of that hymn, there is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. So don't hold back. Embrace the years with excitement and anticipation. Trust God. Be not afraid. The best is yet to be. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 308, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." And I invite you to come this morning to receive Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. I invite you to come and unite with this church by letter, by statement, by baptism, to come and recommit your life to Him as we stand and as we sing. You come.